Hello and welcome to the Health Innovation Podcast. This is one of a series of conversations recorded at the NHS ConFed Expo event 2023 with me, Caroline Kenyon. In this episode, we hear about real-world evaluation of innovations. What is it? Why do we need it? And what difference does it make? We're talking about real-world evaluation in the NHS, and with me are three people who know all about that through their own experiences. Would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, my name's Dr. Neville Young. I work for the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network, and I'm a Director of Enterprise and Innovation there, which allows me the privilege of working with lots of industry figures out there to try and support how we bring their great products and innovations to the NHS to benefit patients and the system.
Hi, my name's Greg Birch. I'm co-founder and clinical director at Tiny Medical Apps, background as an A&E doctor as well, work clinically in Brighton.
My name's Martin Eads. I'm managing partner of Priory Medical Group, which is a primary care network in York. We look after a patient population of 60,000 patients with a supporting staff of 250 staff. And we've got a long history of innovation in the healthcare space, but we're currently focused very much on digital access solutions for our patients.
And you've all got a lot of experience to share and a lot of good experiences that you're proud of, which I've been listening to at the NHS ConFed Expo conference. Nev, can you start off by explaining what do we mean by real-world evaluation?
Well, I think what we're really talking about here is how we evaluate products when we let them loose in the wild, so to speak. So when we evaluate a product maybe at an early stage, maybe it's in a very controlled environment, but actually, once it's gone into the wild and clinicians and patients are interacting with the product, there's a lot more learning that we need to do. We need to learn how patients in the product and the services that we're trying to deliver. So real-world evaluation is a very, very broad area with many different aspects within it, including health economics. But actually, for a lot of innovators and for a lot of NHS people, we see it as something that's really about making sure that we deliver the benefits promised by the innovation to the patients and to the system every time we deploy to a new customer.
Greg, you're somebody who has developed an innovation. Can you describe what that is? And also, how did you decide what you needed to evaluate?
So yeah, our product is Digital Health Passport. It's a self-management app aimed at younger people, parents and carers, primarily for people with asthma. But we're expanding it out for other long-term conditions as well. And we've got some funding for sickle cell. We're looking to work with in inflammatory bowel disease and epilepsy and other conditions as well. With the evaluation, there's a couple of stages to it, really. So products these days, they're all co-designed, co-produced to any sort of quality standard at all. So you should really be thinking about your patient experience right from the word go. And that's really the first thing that you've got to demonstrate. You've got to demonstrate that it works for patients, that it's a usable and easy to use product. So that you should really be taking that for granted by the time you get to the sort of formal evaluation because of the work you've already done. We're then looking at what can we measure first, and we're looking at patient activation, so improving patient skills, their knowledge, the confidence to self-manage. And that's really because there's some proxy markers in there as well that you can do health economics work on. And then from there, we'll look at harder outcomes, and that's really where we're at the stage we're at now. But you need to be at scale for that. We may be making incremental improvements in people's asthma outcomes with a very low-cost product, so it's still good value, but we need to be able to go out to tens of thousands of people potentially to demonstrate that. And that's where we're at now. So it's kind of going through stages of evaluation, but particularly talking to the commissioners, to the ICBs, to understand what good looks like from their perspective. And we hear different things. We pull people into workshops. We get people to kind of commit to what the evaluation should be like, that they'll be able to put a business case forward to their board afterwards, as long as we meet those milestones. That's been our philosophy so far. And working very closely with UCL partners and the HSN network to do this, because we don't have the formal academic experience. We don't come from that background, and we really need that proper support, make sure things are really done in the right way and that the evidence is really high quality at the end of it all.
And you've done something very interesting, haven't you? You've actually using TikTok and influencers, which isn't something that's perhaps intuitive to a former A&E doctor and innovator.
Yes, yeah, so there's two sides really to what we're trying to evaluate at the moment. And firstly is the product. We're quite confident that our product will improve patient activation, their skills, their knowledge, the confidence to self-manage. The materials in it are very high quality, and it's a case of getting them in front of people. So the question really for us is, if we assume that that's going to be successful to some point of view as a product, then the challenge really is how do you get it into people's hands, and how do you do that at scale, and how do you get into the right people's hands? People who benefit, likely to benefit most from our intervention, are people from underserved and poorer communities, because they're the people who have the worst asthma and who've got the least confidence to self-manage. So we really need to find out, how do we get it into their hands? So we're looking at three different adoption strategies. One is what you might call sort of traditional, the way we always do things in the NHS, so traditional NHS comms. We put posters up on walls, we train our staff, we send out emails, and we try to embed the technology that way. And it takes about 10 years, really, to embed things that way. So it's not the greatest way. The second then is going direct to the users themselves, and there's the term hard to reach, which is not really an acceptable term anymore. We talk more about underserved communities, because these people aren't hard to reach by sports brands, for example. You know, it's the methods and the tools that we use to reach people. So we're looking at going direct to consumers in channels that they're on. So if TikTok is an example that we've already started using, and we look at other social media. And then another way we're looking at working is actually training up a wide range of different staff, different healthcare professionals in digital tools, and trying to get them excited about what's out there and to get it out that way as well.
Martin Eads, what was important to you at Priory Medical Group in York when it came to real-world evaluation?
I think for us, it's a really challenging project. And historically, as a healthcare provider, we're so ingrained in delivering what we do and making changes and evolving methods of access, for example, that we just can't see the wood for the trees. So we worked with York Health Economic Consortium and with some support funding from the AHSN to actually have an external independent analysis of what we're doing. Sometimes when you're so ingrained in a project, it's difficult to remain independent and remain unbiased in terms of the outcomes. So given we had an aspiration and a goal to try and get and spread the innovation that we've embedded in our practice to York and beyond York, we really needed that real world evidence from an independent source that would look at it objectively. What were we like before? What were we like after? What were the improvements? And sometimes the improvements are not always the obvious ones. It's not simply about saving money. It's about releasing clinical resources. It's about using the resources you have today more effectively and to ultimately get better patient outcomes. And that's either in terms of the timeliness in which they're seen or getting them in front of the right clinician at the first point, at the first time. And that for us was actually a game-changing piece of work. And seeing that independent analysis has actually confirmed that what we did was right. And that then gives our colleagues around the City of York and clinical colleagues across the country some confidence that actually what we're doing does work. And it's not just us selling a story or trying to sell a product. We don't sell it just for reference, but it just gives them the confidence that actually looking outside in, this works. And then they can come and see us and feel it and touch it and confirms what they might have thought or any sort of prejudgment that they had about what we've done.
What are some of the compelling facts that you've discovered through this evaluation?
Oh, there are many. The outcomes were absolutely incredible. I think if we looked at before we went live, we had some really significant issues with patient access, trying to get through to us on the phones. The wait time to try and get a routine appointment with us was creeping out from 4 weeks to 5 weeks to 6 weeks. We'd never had that historically. Getting through on the phones, 99% of contact came through on the phone and was sort of circa 30 minutes or more you'd be waiting. If you were the unlucky soul who just rang after the last appointment had been given, you'd be told to ring back tomorrow and you'd be back into that cycle. We all hear about this 8 a.m. rush for appointments. So what we've done and the model that we adopted removed that by giving a very comprehensive digital online method of access. And it's not digitally exclusive because patients can still ring up and they can still walk through the front desk and book appointments and access our services. But what it has done is it's done two things. Is because people are self-serving now, essentially, the number of calls that are coming through the practice has dropped dramatically. It's gone from 99% of all contacts from patients to 30%. And that's released call handler time to actually help educate and navigate and help people get through the healthcare system, because it is complicated. We alone have 14 different clinical types of clinicians sitting within the practice. But what the system's also done is it's helped us get that patient with that issue to the right clinician at the first point of contact. Now, that's a really challenging thing. If you're a call handler, you've got someone on the phone asking you for help, and you're going, well, who do I put them with and where and when? We have 9 sites across the city. Everyone works different hours and different working patterns. The tool has taken all of that away. And ultimately, that's reduced that waiting time from 4, 5, 6 weeks to a week, which is absolutely incredible. We've released clinical resources because we haven't got issues bouncing around the system. An issue that comes in through a call handler, it goes to one of our clinicians. It's not most appropriate. It goes back out to the reception team. It then goes to somebody else. And we've massively reduced the number of things that are bouncing around. The other piece, which I think is really, really important, is the system has given us data. And it's based on that data that we're actually shaping our workforce and how we shape our services around the patients. You know, we had no idea the actual volume of prescribing requests, medication reviews and things that were coming through, and ultimately we're landing with GPs. Yet we have a significant prescription administration and pharmacy team, but we've used that information to actually enhance and grow those teams, which again is releasing pressure on the GPs to see things that are more appropriate to them.
And if I can just come in there, Caroline, as well, I think what we've got here as well is an innovator in Greg who's adaptable, who's evaluating constantly and evolving his offer. And we've also got an NHS system that wants to do exactly the same and to learn from each other. And I think, although we're not talking about an innovator working in Martin's practice, I think some of the things we're seeing is that adaptability on both sides, that ability to react to what's going on in front of you, to change, to iterate your product, to iterate your practice, to work with your staff, to work with the public to design your product. Those are the ingredients that when you see them all come together, you really see demonstrable change and improvement in the delivery of care in the system as well. And I think that's a testament to both of the practice in York and Greg as an innovator and their approach to innovation and gathering the evidence in that real-world setting and using that to inform your next decision.
So just to finish, this is part of the role of HSNs to help spread to support and then spread innovation. So real-world evaluation, is that being done by all HSNs? And
yes.
What should people do in order to access that support?
I think contact your local HSN and have a conversation about real-world evaluation. We all do it slightly differently. Some HSNs have in-house expertise. Us in Yorkshire, we contract out with partners in this space as well. So there are different approaches. I think the key thing for me is that if you want to do adoption and spread, real-world evaluation is really important, because if you do it properly, your customer becomes your best advocate for your next customer. And I think you see that with really good evaluation. Yeah, the system that's evaluated, they become really strong advocates for the product because they feel as though they're involved with it, they're part of it, they're benefiting from it, and they become your sales force for your next customer. So I don't know what Greg thinks about that, but I guess that's what you want, your last customer to be your best advocate for your next customer.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you very much, Neville.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, Dr. Neville Young, Dr. Greg Birch, and Martin Eads. If you'd like more information or to contact an HSN to talk about support for innovations and real-world evaluation, there are links in the podcast notes. Thank you for listening.